El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do a whole bunch of shows. Joining me today, she is a fantastic comic and one half of the duo who hosts the Lowest Common Phenomenator podcast right here on the Unpops Network. You should check it out sometime. We're always happy to have her here. Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Haidar. Also joining me, she is also a fantastic comic who is making her first appearance on Unpopular Opinion. But you've heard her before on the 12 Questions podcast and on Bleak and Review. And we are so happy to have her here today, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Friedland. And Randall Maynard's my co-host. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. Randall, give me a high five.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yes.
That
yes.
could
so
not,
natural.
That could not have gone better.
Yeah, no, that was great. This is how we get the energy. You know when you know
this
when
how
you
we bring
the,
it back down.
You
yeah,
know when you
want to
get the
flow.
Energy going and you're really worried about how the energy in the podcast is going to go.
No, I never worry about
that. You really
that.
Like, you know, you want the vibe to be good. That's yeah. how you what I call raise the vibe.
I have an orgone blaster. Okay. It keeps the energy at an even keel in here.
Yeah.
And it keeps government agents away.
Yeah, I can't tell if I feel cursed or protected between the stone and the doll. It's like,
oh yeah. Well, we took the 9/11 light out of here.
Oh, oh yeah. No.
We had because I try to rent this place out. There's a site called Peer Space where you can like
right.
And it felt like having a flashing 9/11 sign would be a that would show
that
up in the reviews.
That wasn't a selling point? Or?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are we supposed to remember 9/11 now?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it is.
Yeah.
It's only a flashing sign
to me. We can only remember 9/11 by the deals, baby.
Right?
There you go.
The deals and the barbecues.
Famous 9/11 sales.
Yeah.
The Mind Trump sign is gone, too.
Oh. Yeah.
That also felt like
too
Trump
much.
In full Nazi regalia.
Yeah.
Even if it's a protest thing, was going to come off bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see how that. I have two ironic.
I put it up while people are recording. The middle of the podcast.
Excuse me, just quietly.
I just shuffle it and hang it up and leave again.
And if they're not cool with it, then fuck them.
Fuck them. Hey, I should introduce guests.
Oh, sure.
Olivia Haidar.
Oh, hey. My goodness.
I, from the Lowest Common Phenomenator podcast.
That's right. It's a mouthful.
A new podcast sensation on the Unpops
yeah,
Network.
Yeah, we're breaking the waves and making it happen.
The first
breaking
podcast
the waves.
First podcast on the network that has lyrics to its theme song.
Oh, really? Is that
yes.
true?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
What kind of...
Congratulations on your success
oh,
already.
Oh, wow. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
What kind of... You think we're writing lyrics for... No way.
Yeah, I sent that off to my best friend who lives in Indiana, Luke Van Tress.
I thought it was you at
oh,
first.
No, it was not me. I am... I can sing okay, but I'm no musician. But this guy, he's brilliant. He's actually watching right now.
All right, shout out to Luke.
Luke Van Tress.
Shout out to Luke.
fucking yes, perfect.
Hey, that's Rachel Friedland,
oh,
by
hi.
The way.
Hey,
oh,
I'm
yeah,
also here.
First time guest sitting in for Anna Valenzuela. We don't know where Anna is.
We don't know where she is.
We don't know what
and
happened.
And we're not worried.
No, because we were able to line up
well,
another
no
guest. Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of worried.
She'll be fine. She can take care of herself.
Out in the woods.
She's probably out in the woods.
Good.
Yeah.
No, she's going camping.
Yeah.
Great.
No.
So, Rachel, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure.
Hit it, Brett. No, oh, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. What's
well,
happening?
Wait, I was going to ask real quick.
Wow.
Can you tell us about
wow.
yourself, but sing it in the form of a song?
Absolutely not.
This is seamless.
You know, the hardest part of the show for me is first few minutes.
Because I spend all that time asking everyone. This is where how I was supposed to cut you off if you haven't.
Oh, okay.
Like you were supposed to be talking when this happened.
Oh, wait. Should I stop talking?
And I was supposed to go hit it, Brett. And then
distracted.
I'm being cut off.
Cuts in. I know.
I can't believe it.
Rachel, you look like such a fool right now.
I'm an idiot.
Holy shit. Are we going to let you talk at all on this podcast?
Probably not.
Who knows? You're enjoying this, aren't you, Olivia? Faded out, Brett.
Did the faded out. We're good.
It faded just fine.
Yeah, natural fade.
It's always great to see a professional podcast in action.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
It's like a fine German clock.
Mm.
You know? Yeah.
This is the precision our audience has come to expect from us. But Rachel, yes, tell people we met at very briefly at an open mic at the Empire Tavern, which is a cool open mic.
It's
you
a very
go
great
sometime.
Open mic. Yeah,
Sunday nights. I haven't been able to watch it because I've been watching football.
Oh,
and now I can go again.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm glad that your schedule's freed up. Over. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Do we have a football sound?
That is it.
That's the sound all football makes.
Where else have people seen or heard you?
Any of your favorite bars in Los Angeles, California, performing stand-up, not drinking, but maybe both.
A little bit of both. You're on an episode of 12 Questions, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure when that comes out, but I was on an episode of 12 Questions, and I'm supposed to be doing Bleak in Review soon as well. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Also
I'll be around.
Shows.
Yeah. Got a plug. Plug the Unpops.
Doing the big leagues first, though. The main show, the flagship.
What can I say?
Right?
It's a big time.
Yeah, thanks, Anna.
That's me.
It's a big time eagle flying through the sky.
That's how I feel.
So we're talking about some jolly comedy stuff today.
Yeah, I'm super. It's like very lighthearted.
It really is.
Yeah, not crazy. Pretty well grounded.
Yeah, not creepy at all.
Mm-mm.
Not any reason for concern.
Not a problem.
No.
Good
I don't
news.
Even know why we're bringing it up.
Yeah,
it's just our friend. Yeah, this episode's over.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, right,
for
coming out.
This was
out.
Really fun.
This
was
yeah, thank you for doing it. We'll have you on again. You were great.
This is a great one because I didn't open the email and only knew the subject when I got here. And now I have no idea how.
Have you read any of the notes since you've been here? Since you arrived an hour and 15 minutes early?
First of all, look, that is completely... That's efficiency. That's not, that's not a mistake.
Punctual.
Yes, thank you. And no, I didn't.
Fantastic.
I was tweeting.
I've been reading it all day. I sat at an open mic before this and was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. It's weird.
It just bummed you out before your open mic.
It's
like,
slightly
less
dark than the open mic, I'm
sure. Yeah. It was a good balance. It was definitely needed.
It's one of those stories. I have to research a lot of headlines for the different podcasts. And I use this RSS feed, and there's this one particular site that is also an aggregator of links. And it just feeds me the craziest sources sometimes, including OregonLive.com, which I definitely don't have bookmarked as part of my research process, nor the Hindustan Times, which we just did an episode of Pretty Scary based on a story that happened in India that was on the Hindustan Times. But this...
You get that delivered?
Not anymore. I got the digital.
Oh, okay.
I get it on my iPad.
Totally.
$12.99 a month?
Yeah.
You're just killing print media.
Yeah, ideally, yeah. I don't work in it, so kill it off. But this is a story that's mostly getting reported in Oregon, but it feels like... It could probably be national news if we wanted to make a big deal out of it.
That was my first thought, is how has no one else really picked this up?
Feels like it's weird and important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially at a time when we're making such a big deal out of people coming into this country and committing crimes.
Yeah.
And how much of an emergency that is, and we have to build a wall over it.
I thought you were going to say murder mysteries.
Oh, I'll do that.
That too.
Yeah.
That too.
It's like an intersection.
There are too many murder mysteries going on, and we need to do something about it.
Right.
We need to solve them.
Before we solve that problem, we have to get to immigration.
Sure.
Yeah. Something like that.
But that's on the table.
But this never comes up when Trump is talking about
It's whatever weird.
The fuck people come into this country committing crimes.
That's so strange, you know?
I can't imagine why.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really hard to fathom, and I'm sure that it doesn't have anything to do with the Saudi royal family's massive amounts of oil riches.
No.
I mean, that would just be outlandish.
And it's not like they've ever come to this country and committed a big crime before.
Yeah, no, definitely they weren't, like, when three-quarters of the way involved in one of the biggest terrorist attacks.
It was something like 9 of the 11 hijackers or something. Most.
Yeah, that's what 9/11 actually means.
That's what it's
a total coincidence that it happened on September 11th.
Right. That's just good planning.
Yeah. That's why they did it on 9/11.
Exactly. Right. They're really brand focused.
Yeah.
In Al-Qaeda.
So we're talking about Saudi Arabia, if it wasn't obvious. We did an episode about Saudi Arabia not too long ago because, you know, they hacked that guy up in Turkey while he was still alive on Skype.
I remember that. They do that. They love to imprison and torture women's rights activists. That's a big pastime.
Mm-hmm.
They like to kidnap women who are trying to escape their country.
Yes.
Overall, I'm sure I'm planning a vacation there soon.
Same.
You know,
nice place.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. And it's one of those places where their leader is trying to position himself as like a human rights guy.
Yeah.
And especially a women's rights guy. And he's passed all these like bullshit symbolic things like, oh, women can drive.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. That was.
And then
one.
You look into it and they mostly passed that because before men had to drive women around.
Yeah.
And eventually men were like, this is bullshit. I'm tired of fucking driving her everywhere. Can we just make it so women can drive? But they'll still sometimes kill a woman for driving also.
Well, women are bad drivers. And so, you know, we can only get so far
it's
with
a public safety thing.
They can't go all the way, right? Yeah. It has to be baby steps. You know what I mean?
It's... Right. Drive to the store and back. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's rough stuff. It's not a great place, I think.
No, and the thing we're talking about today, it's probably happening on a way bigger scale than this.
Yeah, I mean, these are like kind of low-key incidents that just are all connected by the same thread.
Yeah, Oregon, like the upper Northwest, has been uncovering some really interesting immigration-related stuff lately. That's also where the story about how Motel 6 was working with ICE, and if any of their guests had Hispanic-sounding names, they would give those names to ICE, and ICE would run those names, and sometimes they'd come arrest and deport people. But if nothing else, they would run your name through their system.
Motel 6, the fuck? Isn't like anything goes at the Motel 6? Like, that's like you.
I know.
Anything but immigration. That's what they're going to like crack down on. They're like, this is, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have any Mexicans in here, but you can do whatever the hell else you want.
Right.
You're bringing in a donkey and some knocked out prostitute and you're cocaine and whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
What kind of Motel 6s are you saying?
I was going to say, this sounds very specific.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I've seen some shit, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
And I turned the other cheek, not unlike Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I think,
and wow. I think
you would think
that. Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that was too much.
If I could be self-congratulatory. But, I forgot what I was talking about, so why don't we move on?
Perfect.
Yes.
I feel like that's another thing that happens like all the time, that we just only heard about one case.
The Motel 6.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, someone in Arizona looked into it after that, and they were like, yep, happening here, too.
Yeah, definitely. And like with other hotel chains, like, we've heard about, I mean, there's crazy stories happening with hotels recently.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different story.
But the person who reported on this, they found all these cases happening in Oregon, except for this first one, which happened in Ohio kind of a long time ago. It was, like 89, 88, 89?
Yeah.
And a guy, June 1988, witnesses spotted a white Buick driven by 27-year-old Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Plais, a Central State University student, speeding through the heart of downtown Xenia, a sleepy hamlet southeast of Dayton. I used to sell cable over the telephone in Xenia, Idaho, or Ohio, but I did it from somewhere else, but I called there a lot.
Sorry, what's a hamlet?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
a sleepy hamlet of a town.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I figured, like, I used context clues and I got it, but I just want to make, I've never heard that word.
Hearing that word, it implies there's, like,
ham.
Non-earthlings, like fairies and things.
I
and
wouldn't.
Elves and trolls.
Yeah.
Wait, have you fucking read Hamlet?
Yeah,
what the hell is it?
What it conjures in my mind is like a castle town.
Yeah.
Like a small castle.
Right.
But like
where you see your
It's not a big castle. Like, no,
sometimes
it's just a
trolls
castle.
Live at castles.
Yeah. There's no trolls in Hamlet. It's also clearly a place where if you go there, you see the ghosts of your father. That is what happens.
Okay.
That is what happens.
It is
in
a
Hamlet.
Weird descriptor, like, for the story.
Right.
It's, I would say, village is more, or town even. It's. We don't have, like, it's not like we're England. We don't really
right.
have things that are
designated
villages.
I didn't mean to distract. Just, what a word.
No, I was totally and just baffled by the use
I
of the word
Hamlet. I should tell people, if you want to go out and read more about this, there are two really lengthy articles, both on, oh, fuck your ad blocker.
Turn off your ad blocker. No, we're not.
Both on,
sorry, Oregon
yeah,
Live.
You're getting a plug on this podcast. Welcome to the Unpops bump. You don't get my ads,
welcome
too.
Welcome to the bump.
An article called Saudi Students Who Vanished Before Trial Span States Decades. And there's a second article also, both by Shane Dixon Kavanaugh. Dixon Kavanaugh. If anyone deserves some Dixon.
I don't get it.
Because Brett Kavanaugh and Dixon.
Oh, okay.
And
wait,
it's a Kavanaugh joke.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well.
That was great.
can't find the right noise for this. Let's just move on.
So this guy's car, he plowed into the back of an Oldsmobile Cutlass at 60 miles per hour, hits that car, sends it flying into another car that has a woman and her baby in it, or two small children in it. They were uninjured, but the Oldsmobile Cutlass he hit bursts into flames. And they
insane.
Get
Oldsmobiles.
They were... The two women were Henrietta Bakey, 83, and her younger sibling, Beatrice Brennan. They don't give Beatrice's age.
She was 80.
She was just younger, so she's probably like 60 or something. No, that'd be a big gap for siblings, actually.
We'll say she's 70.
60
Mom had
70.
Me when she was 56.
I gotta say, 60 is way too fast for sleepy hamlets.
Yeah.
That is pretty fast. Yeah.
We gotta put a
like
40, 35,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Like 30... In the residential,
right.
35 at most.
Right.
It's the police's fault for not stopping
honestly.
This.
Right.
I blame the police for everything.
Well, they don't have police.
Oh, yeah.
They got the guys on horses.
Oh, yeah. They
the
just
got,
oh, sure.
They've just got a deputy
fucking,
sleeping on the porch.
Yeah, when you have
right.
a Hamlet town,
it's a sleepy
disaster.
Hamlet.
Anyway,
yeah.
Two women died.
Well, only one woman died.
Oh, okay.
She burned to death.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But they got the other woman out. She was in the hospital for a month. The driver, Al Plais, was uninjured. He was taken to a mental health center for evaluation. At the time, he was receiving a scholarship and living stipend from the Saudi government. A grand jury indicted him on involuntary manslaughter charges, which carries a sentence of up to 10 years. His bail was set at $50,000. Authorities did not seize his passport, because why would you?
Yeah.
But they were also told it was lost or misplaced.
Oh, well, of course.
And they just took that story. And he pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity.
Hmm.
Records show he claimed he had been on a religious fast for 2 weeks before the crash, drinking only water. When asked about the people who were killed in the accident, he feels no remorse, a doctor later wrote in a psychiatric evaluation. In general, he seems to believe it was Allah's will that these events would happen. 2 days after the crash, prosecutors contact the State Department to learn whether he had diplomatic immunity in the U.S. He did not, but once they did that, someone at the State Department notified the Saudi embassy in Washington, and within a day, someone from Saudi Arabia shows up, and they intervene in his court case pretty big way.
This all seems above the board.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different than when someone takes an American and says they're a spy.
Yeah.
And we go over there and help them. But But it is different because those people, I think, are usually spies.
Yeah, usually. that's the problem.
Because otherwise, why were you there?
Yeah.
Right. Like, come on. You are not visiting.
Holiday, yeah. I think, is what most people call it. Yeah.
Yeah, there were the one that always stands out to me. There were these three hikers who were taken into custody for crossing the Iranian border.
Oh, I remember that.
While
hiking
in Iraq. And it's like, why were you hiking in Iraq?
Yeah. The views, man. Come on.
You haven't lived,
why
bro.
Why are we all going to Iraq?
Honestly, though, I mean, like, it's not like I can't imagine that happening.
Right.
There are enough dumb assholes in the world. For that to be a thing that happens.
But I think that was also still war-torn Iraq.
Yeah. Again.
When
but
I was...
Did it look good on Instagram, though? You know what I mean? Like, is it like a nature blogger?
I remember hearing it and being like, we can fly to Iraq right now? Yeah. We're allowed to do that?
It's like, how close are you getting?
They flew into, like, Jordan or something.
And then bodyboarded to Iraq?
Hiked across, like, hiked across the entire west.
And then you quad bike the rest of the way. It's awesome.
Wherever, whatever you need to cross.
Tearing it up in the war-torn desert. Taking some sweet grams. It's all for the gram.
Yeah, with the right amount of followers.
I'm really sorry.
Right.
You can go anywhere.
One of the three hikers
is not what I mean
Paul.
To.
Oh, we could only hope.
Whatever one is.
Both of them.
They both suck.
Both of them. So basically, Saudi Arabia shows up and they start leaning on the courts, saying that this guy was crazy and he shouldn't be in jail and you have to let him out right now. They eventually hire his publicly appointed attorney. This is a quote from that gem of a person. They didn't even blink an eye when I told them how much I wanted. My one regret from this case was I didn't ask for more money.
Honestly, though?
Nice.
Refreshing honesty from a lawyer.
Yeah,
it is refreshing honesty.
Truly.
And it does sound like something a lawyer would absolutely say.
Yeah. And how many times have we all gotten to say that in our lives?
But at the same time, a woman did burn to death.
Sure. Yes. Right. Sure. Yeah.
I was speaking in jest.
Justice for her, I spent it.
Jeez.
So basically, the Saudi government starts sending, they send a military official who intervenes on behalf of this kid. And mysteriously, days before his trial, the judge reduced his bail by half to $25,000. He gets bailed out and then he just disappears forever. There is still a warrant out for his arrest in Ohio. And this was the late 80s.
Wow.
And they've never found him since. This is a quote from his attorney, who is now a judge. I think there were decisions made in this case above my pay grade. All you got to do is read the news, and you'll see decisions are made between us and the Saudi government with bigger implications than what happened in our little county in Ohio.
Damn.
Stephen Hurley.
Again, really honest, just really direct. He's like, hey, man.
He's probably a good judge.
Yeah, probably.
No nonsense judge.
Yeah.
I've said that sentence before, like, this is above my pay grade, but I can't imagine being him and saying, this is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like actually it's directly within your pay grade, honestly.
Right.
Prosecuting a crime in your county. I believe that's...
It's a little above my pay grade. I don't know.
It's above my pay grade to dig into the government.
Right.
Who am I to judge? You're a judge. Yeah. You're a judge now, sir.
He reminds me of the guy who complimented Ted Bundy during his trial.
That fucking Ted Bundy documentary.
I still haven't watched it. It sounds like it's going to make me enraged.
So let's talk about some of the other cases of this that have popped up in Oregon, because it's not like these are just like dudes with DUIs who don't want their college record ruined. Like, these are serious fucking crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder, a woman burned to death in the previous one.
Right.
Yeah.
I said previous. Ouch.
Why not?
Right.
Why not? Notice, so. It can be the previous.
I bet people would know what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
I literally didn't hear the T, so you should have not even acknowledged it.
Next time I say previous, can you hit the drum when I say the T?
Yeah.
So if you can remember where it is.
let's not ask too much. All right.
Let's talk about one of these cases. We're not going to go through all of them. If you go out and read the article, there's a lot more details.
Well, yeah. If we read them all on a list, it's just going to depress everyone here and right. listening. Yes.
And it would kind of ruin the point of crediting the source. Like, here's the article. Now let us read every word.
And you know what? We say it better.
Right. Yeah.
It's true. They should hire us, honestly.
Right. Yeah. We should be
people
narrating
for one article.
Yeah, that's efficient.
We should be narrating audiobooks like this.
Yeah.
And brief tangent in the middle of chapter 5.
Yeah, right. Keep a lookout for the bonus content where Adam and I, we read a public domain novel in character. It's going to be great.
Abdul Rahman Samir Noura. He was a Portland Community College student, jumped bail in the hit-and-run death of a 15-year-old Portland girl, and apparently fled with the help of the Saudi government. He was 20 at the time. He was speeding on Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Who speeds on Hawthorne?
Who speeds on Hawthorne? How can you?
Why? It's so narrow.
Very narrow.
Freaks here. God, all these guys are speed freaks.
His car fatally struck high schooler Fallon Smart, who was legally crossing the street in August 2016.
Because if she was illegally crossing the street, then...
all bets are off.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have cared?
Yeah,
right.
Her fault. After Noura's arrest, the Saudi consulate retained Ginger Mooney to work on his case and cut a $100,000 check to provide him bail. He faced charges of first-degree manslaughter, which carries a minimum prison sentence of 10 years, felony hit and run, and reckless driving. 2 weeks before his trial, Noura removed an electronic tracking monitor he was required to wear as a condition of his release, then disappeared. Officials with Department of Homeland Security and the Marshal Service told the Oregonian last month they now believe he left his neighborhood in a black SUV and later used an illicit passport and private plane, likely provided by the Saudi government, to flee the country. That's intense.
So, yeah.
Am I skipping too far ahead here, or can we talk about motive for the Saudi government wanting to do this?
Well, I think we mentioned earlier that they have, and we'll talk about it a little more, in recent years, they set up this big scholarship program.
Right.
So it's like an official Saudi policy now that if you want, they'll send your kids to the United States where they can go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a bad look if they send your kids and then your kid sets an 80-year-old woman on fire with his car.
Mm-hmm. Only a then, little.
And says, yeah, it was...
Then they have to go to prison for it.
Whoopsie-daisy.
So then...
An American prison.
Right, an American prison. Like, the parents are going to be like, get my kid back here.
Right.
Right.
Please.
Right.
And they do it.
So do they pay? Is it just like anybody who can go on that scholarship? Or is it just like the elites?
Well, there are around 40,000 Saudi students here under that program.
I had a couple of friends in college, Cal State Long Beach, shout out, who were here from Saudi on scholarships.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, this is late on the shout out.
And did they set any old ladies on fire?
No, actually. Yeah. Surprisingly, no. I guess now, surprisingly, no.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Well, okay. No. Okay.
And that's the whole thing. We should like
Saudi people are generally pretty cool. I not like
you're
the
back,
government.
You're back
the government
peddling.
Sucks.
Oh yeah, no.
Everyone.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Everyone
against you.
Remained completely silent while Olivia delivers this thought.
Look, I feel like as an Arab person, I should just say, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth noting. Like, that's why I mentioned the 40,000 number.
Really, right. Yeah.
This is a very small. We're not saying.
Right.
Stop sending Saudi students here
right,
to go to
exactly.
school.
No, definitely not. No, and I mean, everyone that I was friends with was pleasant party boys.
Yeah,
we had a great time.
Normal people.
Yeah.
Did you say pleasant
party boys?
Party boys.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's my favorite Vampire Weekend album.
Yeah.
I'll take 10%.
It's just, yeah. What's interesting is that the government gets involved. That's what made me wonder whether they were specifically children of elite families or wealthy people, because like that seems like it just seems crazy that the Saudi government would go to these lengths for just like your average Joe.
Sure. I mean, from the pool of three people that I knew, no.
Yeah, and it could just be a thing where it's happening so infrequently.
Right.
Like it seems like a lot to us.
Yeah, it's just
but they're
weird...
sending 40,000 kids and they're like, oh, another one fucked up. like right. 6 months. Like
yeah, it's either high stakes for on like a PR level for the whole group that they have, or it's the Saudi government wanting to save face, but
probably a little of both.
And yeah. There's so much money and resources in it that it seems like, yeah, like you're saying, like a combination of both, where it's like, it's maybe just a little too volatile for them to want to just let it go. Like they have to try to like cover their tracks. But the thing is, it's also documented, so I'm confused because you can find out about it, but I guess you have to be searching for that, which would
right,
you know.
Jennifer Fendelander in the comments says it's called the Saudi Arabian Cultural Mission. Well, that's a silly name.
Yeah,
and they are very strict on what they can major in.
Yeah, everyone I knew was an engineer.
Oh,
yeah. Major in engineering.
My daughter worked at a Motel 6 this summer as a housekeeper and got stuck in
by a needle.
Yikes!
Whoa! At first, I thought she meant sewing needle, and then I realized it's probably a hypodermic needle.
Yeah.
Immigration needle.
Ooh.
Do we know what happened with the dead baby at Amazon?
I don't know.
Fucking died.
It's the Saudi Arabian government.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia again. Yeah. So let's talk about another case. Abdulaziz Al-Duwais, another college student accused of rape, arrived at Western Oregon University. What are you laughing at, Randall?
Go on. Just
moved into a house blocks from campus, enrolled for the winter term in January 2013, majoring in computer science. Troubles began 16 months into his studies. He was arrested twice in 6 weeks on suspicion of driving under the influence of intoxicants during the summer of 2014, faced additional charges for failing to appear in court in both cases. The next December, a classmate accused Al-Duwais of raping her at his Stadium Drive North home after giving her marijuana and shots of whiskey, according to a probable cause affidavit filed in Polk County.
See, I was thinking, I was laughing, I was disappointed, because if he had been a straight and narrow guy and had consensual sex, his name was so great as a pickup line, because he could be like, I know all the ways to rock
my
your world.
God.
Okay.
Wow.
And that's the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Thanks. I'm going to wrap this up.
My apologies, Randall. Won't be back.
I had a great run. Goodbye, everybody.
Can I tell you a quick tangent about one of the biggest regrets in my life?
I wish you would.
Sure.
I was living in South Dakota at the time, and I was watching the Kelloland News. That was the name of the station. Mm-hmm. Kello, K-E-L-O. And this
shout out.
Girl was just delivering a news report, and I get up and go out to smoke. And this was pre-DVR, all that shit. I get up, go out to smoke, come back in, and I shit you not, she looks at the camera and goes, I'm sorry for what I said, and I've been let go by the station. This will be my last night. And I, to this day, have no fucking idea what she said. I've looked for it on YouTube. I can't find it.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And I just need to know.
Do you remember what she was talking about before you stepped out?
No. It could have been. It's South Dakota. It could have been fucking Native Americans. Could have been casinos, meth. Probably one of those three things. Abortion.
Guns.
Should we come up with what she said right now?
Oh, man. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's amazing.
That's very fast acting,
it's
too.
It's honestly better that you didn't hear it, because you just have the experience of knowing how short the interval was.
Yeah.
Right.
From her everything in her life being normal to... everything gone.
Right.
And it was the length of a cigarette.
Yeah. I did search for it on YouTube, and I found all of these clips of a guy. It was his first time on the air. And as they're going live, I don't remember exactly what he says, but it's something like, fucking shit! And that's the first thing people hear when the camera comes up. And it was his first fucking night.
Aww.
But he's since found a job, because he's a white dude.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he landed on his feet.
I
don't
do
worry.
Love local
don't worry, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Local news bloopers are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
Al-Duwais. Wow. The woman called 911 during the alleged attack. There is no good segue back into this.
Yeah, no, which is insane.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, to be able to be that coherent of like, I need to do this. And if you're crossfaded, whiskey
and
shot.
And with the dude still there.
Yeah.
Because
that's how I used to pregame. Whiskey shots and tokes. And we were pretty fucked up.
This is all very dark.
They found the woman in Aldaway's bed, crying and shaking uncontrollably while hiding her body and face underneath the blanket. Police arrested Aldaway as he was arraigned on multiple felony counts, including first-degree rape, bail set at $500,000. During a hearing, Judge Sally Avera ordered Aldaway's passport be turned over to Ginger Mooney, his attorney, who is the attorney in a lot of these cases for some reason. And according to Polk County District Attorney's Office on December 29th, Ahmed Al-Zahrani of the Saudi Consulate in Los Angeles posted $50,000 for Aldaway's release from jail. He disappeared before his next scheduled court appearance. Records show the victim told police, he said, tell them I'm your girlfriend. And he said, I'll give you anything. I'll do anything if you don't tell them.
Well,
but then she told.
Well, then.
And now he's back in Saudi Arabia. Thanks, me too.
Jesus.
Wait, when did this happen again?
Was it 2014? Or?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was
2013.
Pre-Me Too, but also, I think we had a pretty good handle on how horrific of a crime rape is.
Yeah, I feel like.
By that point.
Do we think so, though?
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah.
I mean,
wishful thinking. Definitely Saudi Arabia didn't.
Sure.
So that's probably why all that happened. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, it would be one thing if these were just like minor infractions, mm-hmm. and they're stepping in to make sure these kids don't ruin their reputation.
Right.
But when it's this, it's really frustrating to hear Trump shout about crime committed by people who come to this country illegally.
Right.
And the rally I watched today, he literally at one point says, we know where they are and we will find them.
Great.
Very comforting.
Spooky.
Yeah.
I love a president who knows how to reassure the people.
He also said, is there anything more fun than a Trump rally?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everything.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
All the things.
Yeah.
I would say almost anything. I would rather.
A day at the Trump golf course, perhaps.
I would rather burn to death in an Oldsmobile.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And have the killer flee to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, you can sound effect that. Remember, velocity sensor.
Just the more drum beats that we have, the more this sounds like a really fucked up beat poem.
Yeah. That's what we're going for.
We're slowly stringing together some intro music.
Waleed Ali Al-Harti. I was going to do some slam poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good
but I'm
start.
Not, I'm not going
gonna,
to now.
We're
going to
lay a little bit of jazz underneath this whole episode. Right?
There's going to be some upright bass.
Yeah.
He was taking English classes at Oregon State University when Benton County Sheriff's deputies say they found his laptop computer filled with nearly a dozen pornographic videos involving children in August 2014. So that's bad.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not the best.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Not the I best would say look. Bad is a
it's a bad time. It's yeah, a bad bad thing for a person
don't,
to do.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm going out on a limb.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but
very,
I'm going to say
very controversial.
People shouldn't do this.
No, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to get political about it.
I don't want to offend the audience.
Yeah, Waleed Ali Al-Harti is not a role model.
No.
That anyone should be following.
No,
he's a bad dude. He had arrived in Corvallis, that's in Oregon, that March from his home country on a student visa. An academic scholarship from the Saudi Arabian Cultural Mission. We already said that. Jennifer Fendelander told us what it's called.
Yeah, and thanks, Jennifer.
Idiot.
Stupid Oregon.
Couldn't make it longer than 5 months without downloading a computer full of child porn?
You need your kicks.
Yeah, you got that hard drive to fill.
Yeah, you gotta let the steam out a little bit.
Yeah.
Let the steam
it's
out.
It's a new country. It's very scary.
I can't think of the actual phrase.
Let some steam out.
Yeah.
Love to make up idioms.
While under arrest in the back of a deputy cruiser, he asked to contact the Saudi consulate. A police report said he was booked in the Benton County Jail on 10 counts a first degree encouraging child sex abuse. A judge set his bail at $500,000. Faisal al-Sadari, then with the Saudi consulate in L.A., signed the $50,000 security deposit for Al-Harty's bail. He was required to return his required to turn his passport over to Benton County's trial court administrator. He moved to Portland in September after months of attending court hearings in Corvallis. He did not show up for a status check on April 2nd, 2015. Ginger Mooney was his lawyer again. She told the court that he had recently moved out of his house in Portland, and she feared he may be dead. An investigator hired by the Benton County District Attorney's Office later learned from Transportation Security Administration officials that Al-Harty had boarded a plane in Mexico City bound for Paris a week earlier.
And this is a good time for me to say, abolish the TSA. We don't need the TSA. Get the fuck rid of them.
No.
They are a racist organization that is only created to harass people. Fuck them.
Yeah.
That didn't. They're not
fuck
doing shit.
Fuck them.
They just let this guy, this fucking child pornographer, just like waltz through security.
Well, what's interesting about this one is the timeline where it's like you're going in for your check-ins, right? And but then it was from like August to April, and then at that point he's like, gotta dip now, even though you've already been arrested, you're out on bail.
I wonder if by this point, like you had to at this point, if you're prosecuting cases in Oregon. You have to be like, well, it's one of those Saudi kids.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on him. Mm. They're going to get him out of the country. And maybe it just took that long
to
get him out.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And they just wanted the money.
It's really heavy.
And they didn't, you know, they didn't have the regret of not asking for more.
Well, it is interesting, too, that both bails were set at $500,000, but then the $50,000 is all that needed to come in as
Well, that's a law in a lot of states where you only have to put down 10%.
Oh, okay.
So that's how.
So they put down the 10% and then probably
but then why,
put down. Like,
why wouldn't you make it higher? You know what I mean? It's like if we're after money you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that like they put down the 10% and then put down like who knows how much just directly to the people who need it to be
right. Sure. Yeah, and what's happening is when they turn their passports over, I feel like the court is like, well, now obviously they can't leave. No government would just issue them documents so they could leave.
No.
And then Saudi Arabia issues them documents
and
they leave.
There's definitely no country that has a vast history of doing that.
No. So some of the similarities between these cases, we've only covered three. There's more. I really encourage people to go read these actual articles. They are pretty fucking fascinating. And this is good reporting. Some of the similarities. All of these men, all were young men studying at a public college or university in Oregon with assistance from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia at the time of their arrest. In four of the cases, the Saudi government stepped in to help, posting large sums of money for bail and possibly underwriting legal fees. Three surrendered their passports. All disappeared while facing charges or jail time. The same Oregon defense attorney, Ginger Mooney, was hired to represent the four most recent suspects. Seems like we need to talk to Ginger.
Yeah.
See why
they have Ginger on the line right now. Hold on.
Yeah, Ginger Mooney joining us.
Hey, fuck you guys.
Ginger, what's on your Spotify playlist? Little is known of the whereabouts of the five, though some have been traced back to Saudi Arabia. And one of the things that we sort of just touched on this, but how are these kids getting out of the country without passports?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a big.
Well, it sounds like someone hopped on a PJ.
That's
someone stepped on a PJ and just.
Greased the wheels at TSA.
Yeah.
And that was the child porn guy, right?
Yeah.
And you roll out the private jet for the child porn guy?
Was it for child porn guy?
Yeah.
Or was
the one that got
Curtis?
He
okay.
What that really. What it reminds me of is immediately following 9/11 when Saudi nationals, including the bin Laden members of the bin Laden family, were flown out of the United
States. Oh,
they
just fucked off, like, right
and
away.
Given protection.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you think there's something weird about that?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, like, a weird coincidence. I don't, you know, it's just something to think about.
Yeah,
it is.
Considering the similarities between that and this.
Yeah. Okay, all right, Alex Jones.
If I, whenever someone brings up 9/11 conspiracies, if it doesn't end in Saudi Arabia
exactly.
It's like, you're a fucking government agent. Shut up.
That is the problem with every 9/11 conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Is that there was a... I've said this before on Conspiracy Podcast. There was a conspiracy. It was the conspiracy by these men, mostly Saudis,
right,
to do that, this attack.
Yeah, that attack during 9/11 actually happened. That was... It worked.
We saw it.
Yeah.
And then there were those 26...
That wasn't improv.
No, that was not a last minute... Yeah.
They weren't just like, hey, guys, how about on Tuesday we grab some flights and blow up some towers?
Grab some flights.
Yeah.
There were, for years, also those 26 redacted pages in the 9/11 report. Mm. And for years, people were like, oh, that's about how a Saudi intelligence agent met with two of the hijackers. And people were like, okay. And then they finally declassified those pages. And yep, that's what it was about.
Shocker.
But he was like, oh, we just met at the airport and then decided to move in together.
You know what?
As one does.
Hey, you know, I met
that's never happened to you?
I met some people at an Against Me concert and then moved in with them for a few months. So, I mean, you know.
It's pretty much the same situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is the same
Against
deal.
Me, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
what's the difference?
It's all above board.
Anything can happen.
So this is also a thing that happens in Canada.
It goes all the way up to Canada.
It goes all the way to the top.
All
of
the way
North
to the
America.
Top.
I had imagined Canada as a corruption-free utopia.
Oh, and isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It isn't?
No.
I don't think so.
I tell people all the time, Canada's Trump is coming. It'll be 8 years after Trump was elected. So 2024 is when they'll get their Trump. And
Canada's actual Trump died of a crack overdose.
Well, no, but they have a few.
No, I know. I just always want to talk about Rob Ford.
One iteration.
But Doug Ford.
I know,
back in another
exactly,
form.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, they're very similar. But,
that's version 1.0.
Yeah. I feel like if Trump, though, had gotten a hold of crack, then he might have died.
Yeah. How crazy will it be when Canada does take a Trump turn
and
puts
they're
up
like,
a
wall?
They're like, we don't want immigrants here either, and we mean you.
Yeah. I would not blame them.
Oh, no.
What do you think they would use to keep us away? Like, what would be the... Well, but like, what kind... You know, what's the material? What's
guns?
The deterrent?
We're bringing... Americans bringing guns to Canada.
Just a big
Canada.
Snow wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Lots of snow. Like
maple syrup. That'd be a mess if you got through it.
Well, maple syrup is the mortar, and then, like, just the maple leaves...
Oh,
as
sure.
The foundation.
Yeah.
And, make
and then
out of the maple
I think
leaves.
We're.
I like that.
I think we're overlooking the mousse that would be lined up.
Oh, the
up.
Chocolate mousse?
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a good base.
Cut off a piece of the horn.
Right.
I have to and that, but I did not mean the chocolate mousse.
I knew that.
You don't even know, man. So, yeah, this happened in Canada recently also. Nova Scotia's prosecution service says Mohammed Zarabi Al-Zoabi had $37,500 of his bail posted by the Saudi Arabian embassy last year in relation to the alleged sexual assault and forcible confinement of a woman between August 1st, 2015 and March 26, 2017.
I feel like a more concise way to phrase that would be kidnapping.
That is a kidnapping.
Yeah.
That is a movie kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime movie.
Shit. Assault. And forcible confinement.
Yeah. So, well, you got to get all the iterations. And
well,
the,
yeah.
You
I mean,
know,
how are you going to forcibly confine her without the assault?
All the flavors.
He's a completist.
Yeah.
He's got to have them all.
Well, one kind of goes with the other.
Right.
They're not going to. She's not going to stay forcibly confined by choice.
Right. Yeah.
That would kind of defeat the purpose.
And yeah, he was bailed out. The money the Saudi kingdom provided for his bail was forfeited when he failed to appear in court, but who fucking cares? And the sheriff unsuccessfully tried to locate him and was eventually told by his lawyer that Al-Zoabi fled the country some time ago, even though police had seized his passport.
Oh, can a lawyer just say that? Sorry, he fled the country.
Yeah.
I'm his lawyer.
Why did they even bother taking their passports?
I know.
Just for fun, just to make it feel good. Like, you know what? We did the right thing. Yeah. We tried.
We did our best.
The extra work. Yeah.
Meanwhile, just some 12-year-old black kid is just shot to death. Or it's Canada, so they'll take a native person out into the cold,
mm-hmm. yeah,
get him drunk, and then just leave him there.
Let him walk back, yeah. Oh, Starlight Tour.
Fuck Canada.
This is a quote. In order for this guy to leave Canada without a passport, it had to be facilitated by the Saudi government or some government, and there's no reason to believe that any other government would put themselves in this position. That is Lee Cohen, who is the immigration lawyer Nova Scotia.
It sounds so outlandish that it could have been facilitated by the Saudi government.
Right.
I mean, no, yeah. Why would they ever put themselves in this position?
I like the last quote here because it summarizes what I've been thinking throughout this entire episode, which is it's intriguing to me as to why the Saudi government would put up bail and then facilitate his departure from Canada before he had the opportunity to complete the criminal process. This is a foreign government interfering with the criminal process.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck is that happening?
Right.
That is weird as hell. And then meanwhile, we got these guys in Oregon and Canada making documentaries about Bigfoot and shit, and they're all distracted. They don't know this is going on.
Right.
Pay attention.
Right. Get this in your Bigfoot documentary.
Yeah, we really need to get the Bigfoot guys on this.
Right.
I need
some credibility.
I need crazy people to start focusing on crazy shit.
Yeah,
that's actually going on. Not
that really is
made
the,
up bullshit.
The problem with conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, not some guy playing.
I can't wait for that movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then the Bigfoot, and then the Saudi royal family.
Yes.
The sequel next year.
Yeah.
That movie's only playing like miles from here.
Which movie?
The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
Oh.
It looks so good.
Starring Sam Elliott. It's a drama, too. It's like...
It's fucking amazing.
Wait. I've lost track of the bit.
No,
this is a real movie.
It's called The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. It stars Sam Elliott and Ron Livingston from Office Space.
Yeah, no, I know who Ron Livingston is.
And
that wasn't the part he was...
It sounds like some Sharknado shit from the title, but watch the trailer. It looks really fucking good.
I see, now, but...
Olivia's in shock.
Because then you had the joke title, which included the things that we were actually talking about.
Right.
That's where I got lost.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
You got lost.
The title is also confusing because, according to the narrative, he hasn't actually killed Bigfoot yet.
But he's going to.
Right.
He is on a mission to kill Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Mm.
So...
It doesn't say... It just says the man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
It feels like...
So maybe the Bigfoot is just the second...
Right.
It feels
it implies that he also killed Bigfoot.
This all matters.
I think the man...
This is all important to this story.
The man who killed Hitler and is going to kill Bigfoot is a little bit too cumbersome.
That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The man who killed Hitler and then gets unexpectedly defeated by the Bigfoot at the end of the movie.
You don't get many compound sentences as titles.
But why not this one? Why not make an exception?
I'm for it.
It definitely makes it stand out.
Yeah. So the Saudi government is helping criminals hide.
It turns out the
and
Saudi
escape
government
justice.
Sucks.
They are bad people.
A little shady.
Not a fan, personally.
But they are our biggest ally in the Middle East.
Fuck no. That just I have a visceral reaction to hearing that.
But it's I don't know if anything's ever gonna they're gonna have to run out of oil before we're ever.
No, I know.
Before we ever cut ties with them.
Because literally this is not just Trump or whatever. This is a bipartisan thing of presidents and governments assisting this despicable and grotesque regime that exists in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a president who was unfriendly towards Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I think even Jimmy Carter was friendly with him.
Yeah.
Because you have to be.
Right.
You literally have to. That's like the whole problem with fucking the presidency to begin with. You just have to be friendly with the worst people.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to be compromised in some kind of way.
And then, but then we have the fucking balls to claim moral authority when intervening in other matters in the Middle East. As if they're...
Or Latin America, like Venezuela.
Yeah, I'm just trying to stay regionally. But, regionally, when it comes to, Hamas or these other or ISIS or whatever.
We were
like
hot for Hamas.
Yeah, we're all about condemning Hamas.
Right.
When I mean Saudi Arabia is doing the same kind of shit and on a much grander scale, mm-hmm. with a lot more money, and we don't give a shit. Like when Trump had his Muslim ban, you know, the Muslim ban covers a ton of countries, including the country that my father is from. And one of the main countries that's not on the list is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, why is that? It's for the same fucking reason as we're allowed this
so
stuff.
So they could get these pedophiles out of there via private jet.
It's just, yeah.
I couldn't imagine being on a Jetophiles. Private jet for that long. Ugh.
Well, I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I'm sure it was private. Torture.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you couldn't imagine being on a private jet with a pedophile.
I mean, I couldn't imagine that either. Yeah.
I would be very awkward.
I couldn't imagine being on a private jet. It just seems it seems like something that's never going to happen in my lifetime.
No, also.
I identify with that too.
And
much.
a bit more of a distraction here, but very afraid to fly on a private jet. I feel like more accidents happen on a private jet. Private than commercial.
Doctor killers is what they call those.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be an app. I don't know if it still exists, but I was flying.
Doctor killers, the app.
I was flying back and forth to the Midwest a lot, so I almost signed up for it because they were waiving. They had like a $5,000 fee you had to pay up front, and they were waiving that.
Uh-huh.
And if you paid that $5,000 fee, or while they waived it, you could sign up for this service where you could book seats on private jets, where people basically had private jets, and they're like, well, I'm flying here. If anyone needs to come with me, I'll just Airbnb out this seat on my private jet.
It's Uber for jets.
And it was pretty cheap. Like, it wasn't any more than flying commercial because they were, like, doling it out like that. But
it would be weird, though, to be on with just some random guy.
As opposed to when I fly.
Well, I guess.
How are we all supposed to chill out with our bros on our PJs?
It's a little different, though, than on a crowded plane, because on a crowded plane, there's a bunch of other people.
Right.
But on a private plane, it might just be you and some rich asshole.
Yeah. Right. And if your feet smell, like he knows it's you.
Yeah. Or like,
it's not
or
like
whatever.
Masked.
If you're making a noise, if you fall asleep and you snore or whatever. Like, it's just weird.
I'm sorry neither of you have the confidence to fly on a private jet.
That is 100%.
That might be it.
That is absolutely true.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So does anyone have any final thoughts on Saudi Arabia?
Not good.
Yeah, not good.
How do we summarize this? Because it's one of those things where you want to go, well, we don't want to pigeonhole a group of people.
Well, I think we already touched on that.
Certainly.
Yeah. Right.
No, we did, but it's like...
It's not...
It's. I'm just saying it's like it's such a delicate
Well, if we're pigeonholing anyone, it's the Saudi royal family.
Right, exactly. Right. It's not the people of Saudi Arabia, although I'm sure that just like in America, there's a contingent of hardcore assholes who just love it.
Right.
Like the conditions.
Sure.
But like, it's not the people of Saudi Arabia who are the issue here. It is their disgusting royal family and their insane amount
of wealth. Yeah, it's the way in which these cases are executed, right? Not that people are coming here and making these mistakes or doing bad things, but it is that they're being airlifted out of here.
Right. That's what makes it weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, 6 cases out of 40,000 students.
No, totally.
Right.
Like,
those aren't bad numbers.
No.
I think it's great that... I think studying abroad is great.
You think what is great?
Studying abroad. And I think it's good for people to get out of their culture and whatever. So, like, I think it's cool that they're allowed to go do that.
Right.
But, like, shit, man.
But don't do that other stuff.
Well, no, don't do that other stuff. Yeah. But even regardless, but it's just the fact that their government is just
Do you think they let women come over here and do this?
I've been wondering that the whole episode, and I didn't want to say anything. I doubt it.
Because women still have to get permission from men to do most things in Saudi Arabia.
And I'm pretty sure a lot of higher education is. Like, I believe...
Oh, so fuck this program.
They can pursue certain avenues of higher education. Well, that's why I was asking whether, you know, about the social strata of the people who are applying for this program.
Right, right.
Because it feels like it would have to be, like, the equivalent of upper middle class, probably, mm-hmm. if not, like, the ultra rich.
Well, it immediately makes sense. Like, the whole thing makes more sense if you're talking about you know, wealthy students
right.
from another
country. Exactly. That's know, like, how I imagine that.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, no, they can't. Cases. We're not going to let them get, you know, right. stuck in an American prison. But if it's just like random kids
random
that are
kids.
Like,
yeah.
That's super.
Yeah, it would be interesting to do some research on the numbers for that. Mission, the cultural mission.
Yeah.
And see, like,
we'll be back, everybody. We're going to go do that research.
that'll be on part two.
Yeah, we're going to
be bumming about Saudi Arabia again.
So I think that's our episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun. I mean, not fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
No, I had fun.
We had fun here presently in the moment.
Right.
Right. Yes.
We had fun together.
I had about as much fun as it's possible to have talking about women getting lit on fire and raped.
Right. Right. It was like watching Porky's or Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Perfect.
It's just like Revenge of the Nerds.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. $5 a month, you get bonus episodes of the podcasts I host or co-host. And for more money, you can watch live streams of this podcast, and we'll send you a birthday card. We have a financial domination level.
Oh.
Which maybe if lowest common denominator ever starts a Patreon, maybe you could set that level up on yours also.
Yeah.
And totally. We could just let people send us money.
Nice.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's the 100.
I'm down for that.
It's the $150 level, which is no different than the $100 level. You're just giving us more money for free.
And I might just become a financial dominatrix. You know?
Right.
Wow.
I've wanted to forever, but I just don't think I can
dream.
Do it.
Right, isn't
Have
it?
Have the confidence.
Yeah.
You didn't do the plane. Now do this.
Yeah, now
you
got
to pick one.
That's the problem. You do have to have like an insane amount of confidence, and I have zero confidence.
It's either the private jet or the dominatrix. That's it. That's what it comes down to. It's double jeopardy.
I agree. Live those dreams. Olivia. What do you got to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at Hi There Haidar, and I am hosting a new podcast. We've launched two episodes so far. Third one's coming out this week. It is called Lowest Common Phenomenator, and I host it with Vanessa Gritton, and it's a ton of fun. We've covered Jurassic Park 3 and Tremors 2 so far, and this week we got Gremlins 2 coming at you.
Very nice.
We got Gremlins 2.
I wrote a Vice article about Gremlins 2.
Yeah, it's
about
a fucking great movie.
It's an allegory for illegal immigration.
That's great. I wish we talked.
That's apropos of this. Remember when they fly that one out off in the private jet because he gets in trouble?
Yeah, the Gremlins are a real direct parallel to the Saudi royal family. Right,
yeah, they had
exactly.
They had a couch.
Like go on.
Sounds like you have to release a re-edit.
It basically is a place where Vanessa and I can just talk about shit that means nothing instead of super heavy stuff.
Two funny women yammering about Gremlins.
Yeah.
All Gremlins. All the episodes are about Gremlins.
Do you want me to isolate that so you can promote the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't mind. Rachel, what do you have to plug?
You can find me doing stand-up wherever at rachelfriedland.com.
Except not at Adam's show.
I'll be at a bachelorette party in San Diego. Yeah. One woman's already responded and been like, don't worry, I'll be the fun pregnant one. And I was like, I don't think
gross.
This is possible. So I'll be there. Prayers for me.
The fun pregnant one.
I am right now working to set up like some sales on my website. I made these shirts that say I spoke up about my sexual assault and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so proceeds are going to Alexandria House, which is a local nonprofit in LA.
Nice.
Cool. So, if anyone wants to buy one of those, I'll hopefully have that set up by the end of tonight.
Hell yeah.
Did you say that was on your Twitter?
RachelFriedland.com.
Right. Oh, that's on your website.
It's on my website.
Your
I hope.
Fucking website.
I
Holy
hope.
Shit.
If Damn. Not, if not, find me on Instagram and I'll sell you one there. But yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Randall. Oh, Randall. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
One
you
more. Know,
Randall, do you have anything to plug?
You don't want me to plug my Twitter.com?
Plug that Twitter, man.
You go to, just to, for the audience, just to kind of catch them up, like, there's the...
So great.
Wait, and I don't know the story,
previously on
so...
for this plug?
Yeah. So, I know there's some people out there know the internet pretty well, but, like, you know, you have to make sure that people really get what you mean when you plug your stuff. So you go like, okay, look, let's start from the beginning. there's a website. It's called Twitter.com. It's pretty popular. It's getting up there. Some people are starting to use it to promote their stuff. I'm on there. I'm on Twitter.com/RandallMaynard. That's my first and last name.
That's a long Twitter handle. @RandallMaynard. That's my first and last name.
Do we have to put the at in front? If we're looking for you?
/@.
Did you say at or hat?
.net.
Do we have to put the hat on?
I'm sorry. Are you saying at or hat?
You should be wearing a hat while you're doing this. And
got it.
Again, trying to yes and some of this stuff. There's a lot coming at me. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Neither do I.
If you go to twitter.com and look me up on there, I got my that's where you can go there and you can find all my updates.
You say the word tweets.
My my tweets are on there too.
Tweets.
Yeah.
Wait, all right. Tweets do what?
The
now?
Tweets, and they're like little.
I'm sorry,
hats.
Are you saying
tweets? They're little
tweets,
hats.
Yeah, they're
like suits.
Little things I say.
Tweets.
On the. Don't sass me.
Hey, we should probably get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Find me on twitter.com.
All right. Let's get out of here. Rachel, say goodbye.
Bye.
Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Randall, say goodbye.
Remember, what makes you podcast is what makes you a special listener to us.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.